Good morning and welcome to EMP. Today's reading is from Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. During the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was set before him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had never been sad in his presence, so the king said to me, "Why are you sad when you aren't sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart." I was overwhelmed with fear and replied to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should I not be sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Then the king asked me, "What is your request?" So I prayed to the God of the heavens and answered the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor with you, send me to Judah and to the city where my ancestors are buried, so that I may rebuild it." The king with the queen seated beside him asked me, "How long will your journey take, and when will you return?" So I gave him a definite time, and it pleased the king to send me. I also said to the king, "If it pleases the king, let me have letters written to the governors of the region west of the Euphrates River, so that they will grant me safe passage until I reach Judah. And let me have a letter written to Asaph, keeper of the king's forests, so that he will give me timber to rebuild the gates of the temple's fortress, the city wall, and the home where I live." The king granted my request, for the gracious hand of my God was on me. I went to the governors of the region west of the Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent officers of the infantry and cavalry with me. When Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard that someone had come to pursue prosperity, the prosperity of the Israelites, they were greatly displeased. And so as I continue looking at the life of Nehemiah, and what we can then learn for ourselves, this passage stands out in many different ways from what we saw in chapter 1 of Nehemiah being moved to the point of mourning and weeping and fasting and praying for the city of Jerusalem and the people of Israel. And so in this passage here, there are a few things that I want to point out here that here in verses 1 and 2 that we see that Nehemiah in the role of the cupbearer. So in terms of just the cupbearer, is his role is very significant in terms of he's not just pouring drinks. That's not his role fully, but it's really to test. In some ways, he puts his life at risk because he has to test the food, whatever the king is eating or what he's drinking, in case it's being poisoned. So his life is always at risk in that way. But because of that, he then that position then also positions him to listening to conversations and build relationship with the king. So normally the cupbearer has a relationship with the king. He sits at the king's table and is regarded as someone to be trustworthy as well, and holds position of authority and high esteem. And so here's Nehemiah, and so essentially he's at work, and he's giving wine to the king. And it says that I had never been sad in his presence, but the king notices. The king notices the sadness in Nehemiah's heart, because it is outwardly visible. His sadness is outwardly visible. Some people do well to maybe hide their sadness, but here in Nehemiah, there's something about him that the king, or maybe the way he's acting, or maybe the way he's speaking, that the king is able to say, "Hey, what's wrong with you? I sense there's a sadness in you, and this sadness is a sadness of the heart." In different versions, it says, "Why is your face sad?" You know, there's something about emotions that sometimes we feel them so deeply that our body can't hide it. You know, different emotions come out differently. Some people, when they get scared, or some people, when they get angry, they start shaking. You know, some people, when they get really angry, they want to cry. So for different people, the way their emotions are manifested outwardly is so different. But there's something about Nehemiah and maybe the closeness of King sees Nehemiah. Maybe on a maybe normally Nehemiah is joyful, but on this occasion, there's something about him that the king goes, "Why are you sad? This sadness, this is nothing but sadness of heart." And so the king asks that question, and in that moment, Nehemiah then wrestles through another emotion. "I was overwhelmed with fear." Okay? Here is Nehemiah being overwhelmed with fear. Why is he fearful? What is there to be fearful about? Maybe he's thinking about what he's going to ask of the king, because he replies, "May the king live forever. Why should I not be sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" So even though he might have a relationship with the king, there's also a level of authority here. And I think that's something key in terms of our relationships of how we speak to people. That, and I think it's essential, whether it's when we're handling relationships, whether it be in family, not so much in friendship groups, because within friendship groups, we're all normally just peers amongst one another. But when it comes here in terms of maybe even in a workplace, that there's a different way of addressing those in authority here. And I think maybe Nehemiah is wondering, okay, I'm gonna give a bold request and I don't know how it's going to be taken. And I have to, like, when Nehemiah says, he begins by almost just giving flattery, you could say, maybe in some way, or just praising the king. "May the king live forever." And then he gets down to it, where he says, "Why should I not be sad when the city my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed?" So there's a bit of grace in terms of him being able to show respect to the king, but then also being able to share what is really on his heart and why he is sad to the king as well. And I think that's sometimes difficult to do for some of us. I think some of us are more like, "Blah, let me just share with you how I feel, and I don't care who you are," and so forth. But here, I think Nehemiah shows the wisdom to know how to communicate to the king. And so it says, then the king asked me, "What is your request?" And it says, "So I prayed to the God of heavens and answered the king." Okay, so in this situation here, I don't think from this passage that there's a moment of Nehemiah saying, "You know, let me get back to you. I'm going to go pray, and then I'll give you an answer." I think this is happening in the moment, that the king goes to Nehemiah, "What is your request?" And in that moment, Nehemiah has a pause in his heart, and he's praying. And I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where you're in a situation where things are happening to you in the moment, but you're also in the moment being present in the moment, but you're also in the moment praying. You know, I've been in that situation where someone is sharing something with me and I'm like, in the moment I'm thinking, "Oh my gosh, what am I going to tell this person? I have their words for that person." Yeah, at the same time I'm going, "Okay, God, you know what this person needs to hear. What are those words that I should speak to that person?" Now, I've been reading this great book on praying, and it talks about how these prompt moments of praying are actually built during the scheduled times of praying, you could say. And in chapter 1, we saw that Nehemiah had already set a time of praying and fasting and of being with God. So when he has his moment of an impromptu prayer, and he's asking God how to respond to it, and almost in some way, that impromptu prayer is built on that deep well of what he already has been praying to God already. And I think that's essential in terms of our praying lives. I think most of us are used to those impromptu prayers of, I think I view it as kind of messaging a friend you haven't messaged in a while, and then suddenly, imagine you, I would see it in this way, kind of, let's say you haven't talked to your friend for a while, and then suddenly you just message them, "Hey, I need help moving. Can you help me move?" And your friend is just like, "What? I haven't heard from you." And out of nowhere, this is, but if you have a friend that you're constantly in relationship with, and you message them out of, in some way, in the middle of the day and you're like, hey, I need help moving. They'd be like, yeah, for sure. Why? Because there's something that has been built there through those other moments of relationship that impromptu ask doesn't really make a difference. But I think there's something to be said when you just out of nowhere, when there is no depth, and you make a request. And so I think Nehemiah has that depth and he has that moment of prayer. And I think God shows up in his mercy. And so he answers the king. Again, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has favor with you, send me to Judah and to the city where my ancestors are buried so that I may rebuild it. And so then Nehemiah gives his request. Completely different than I would think that some other people may have handled it throughout the Old Testament. I think that's important for us to notice in terms of the seasons we are in our lives, that different seasons in our lives require different requests. Maybe someone like David, or maybe someone like Moses would have been like, hey, yo, this is God's people. This is God's place. God's calling you to rebuild it. Do it. You know, but Nehemiah is a bit different. Nehemiah goes, if it pleases the king, and he has found favor upon his servant, send me to be the one who rebuilds the city. And so the king, with the queen seated beside him, asked me, how long will your journey take, and when will you return? So I gave him a definite time, and it pleased the king to send me. And I love this. As someone that likes to be organized and plan, I like this, because then my goes, he's not caught off by guard of like, oh, you said yes. Actually, I haven't even thought about it. I haven't even planned it. Actually, I don't even know what to do. You know, I was thinking of being spirit led, you know, but no, Nehemiah says, the king asks, hey, what's your request? And it says here that Nehemiah gave him a definite time of when the journey would take place and when he would return, and it pleased the king. I think sometimes it's good to have plan and order in our lives. And I think sometimes when you look at leadership, sometimes when you're working with authority and you're working with leadership, they're wanting to know more, hey, does this person have the ability and the capability to do what they're asking to do? Or are they just bringing me problems without solutions? And I think in that way, Nehemiah, by saying, hey, send me, and being definitive about the time, he's showing himself also being someone that is capable. And so here I also said to the king, if it pleases the king, let me have letters written to the governors. And so Nehemiah starts asking for requests and provisions as well. And I like this as well, because sometimes you have not because you ask not. You know, sometimes people go about complaining about what they don't have, but they've also never taken the step just to even ask. You know, here Nehemiah goes, I think I would have been just happy just to be in like, all right, the king let me go, I'll figure out the rest. But Nehemiah takes the request a bit further. All right, it's like asking for work. Let's say you ask for a holiday and you're like, oh, maybe can I get that holiday with pay? You know, he takes the request a bit further in this by not just getting permission to leave, but he says, hey, can I get some protection as I go as well? And hey, while you're at it, can you provide the material for this project that I'm building? And I don't know if any way it benefits the king here in any way, but it says the king granted my request. And we see the reason why here, for the gracious hand of my God was on me. So we see that God's hand and favor was on Nehemiah. And then lastly, we see in verse 10 that not everyone was happy in terms of what Nehemiah was about to do in terms of seeking the prosperity of the Israelites. There were those that were greatly displeased. Okay, so we just going through this passage here, just to point out a few things. One of them is in terms of how we sometimes feel. Here Nehemiah is feeling two things. He's in a state of sadness, but he also has fear. And I think those are sometimes two emotions that paralyze us in our lives. You know, when people talk about fear, they normally mention two things. You either fight or you flight, meaning you're actually going to do something or you're going to shrink back. And I think that's something to be said, that especially maybe sometimes in church we talk about people that have fear as people that don't trust God. But here is someone that is in relationship with God, in prayer with God, remembers God's promises, but yet there's fear in his life. And I like that because I think sometimes when we're asking God to remove fear in our life, it's almost like we're waiting for all of a sudden the emotion of fear to leave and then suddenly to be filled with courage and then we act. But what if about sometimes in the midst of what we're feeling, of even being sad and even being fearful, we still move forward and we still act? You know, and I think that's something powerful in our lives. I remember this quote by, I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt, where she said that we gain strength and courage every time we stop and look fear in the eyes. I think if we are always waiting for the emotion of fear to just leave our lives, I think most likely it'll leave us paralyzed most of this time. I think most of the time we just won't act. We won't do it because we're waiting for the emotion of fear just to leave us. But sometimes in the midst of that fear, we have to move forward. And that's what Nehemiah shows here, that he wasn't paralyzed by, he was feeling sad, he was feeling fearful, he was still having those feelings, but yet he was still moving forward at the same time in terms of what he felt God had placed in his heart to do. And that is possible to do as well in our lives. And then secondly, here it was just those moments of impromptu prayer, of when we're praying to God, are normally just built, though, on those seasons when we have our scheduled times of prayer. When we've built that well of prayer and there's something to go to when we have those moments in our lives. It'd be like saying, God, give me a scripture for this person. But if you've never really been reading the word, there's no word for God to bring to mind to you if there's nothing there to pull out. And so I feel that in the same way with prayer, that those impromptu prayers are necessary and part of our lives, because sometimes things are happening in the moment and we just need to be in the moment. God, what do I do in this situation? What's the word that I say? How do I act or move in this way? And then secondly is being people that say, send me. You know, I'm not just a person that brings up problems and then walks away, but that says, hey, send me. Here's the solution. I've thought about it. Here's what I'm thinking about. Here's the plan of what I want to do. Be definitive about what your vision is and what you want to accomplish in that way. And I like this, just to go back, I forgot this part where the king asks, why are you sad? I think most of us are hidden about how we feel sometimes in our lives. Nehemiah could have been like, sad? No, I'm good. God is good all the time. Praise the Lord. No, I'm moving forward in victory. You know, or why are you sad? Nah, I'm good. It's okay. I'm not sad. Here Nehemiah actually, the king asked, why are you sad? Nehemiah responded. Now, are there moments and maybe when we share with that sadness, we're not walking around to everyone, hey, what's up? Oh, you know. But I think there's something to be said that when someone asks you, and maybe someone that you're in relationship with asks you, hey, how are you feeling? That you actually give them a genuine response and not just try to hide it and keep it in yourself. Because the king asked him, why are you sad? And Nehemiah gave him his response. So I think there's something to think about that when we're navigating through our emotions as well. And then lastly here is just realizing that just because God has called us to it, it doesn't exclude conflict. Okay, just because we've gotten favor from some people, and it doesn't mean that everyone will always be pleased here, and we'll see that in the next verses next week, is that not everyone was pleased in terms of what God was doing in Nehemiah's life. That here it says that there were those that were actually displeased, and we'll see later on that they were actually working against Nehemiah and him acting. And so as we go into a time of worship and just meditation here, I want us to just close our eyes and just think about maybe think about some of the things that we've been wrestling through with in our lives that God has called us to, but maybe sometimes we haven't known how to navigate through our emotions in a healthy way. that we've allowed fear maybe or sadness to paralyze us rather than taking that fear and sadness and bringing it before God and having the ability to also move forward in terms of what he has called us to do. And so, Father, we thank you for your word this morning and the life of Nehemiah and what we're able to learn from. That, yeah, sometimes our emotions can be so paralyzing to what you have called us to do. And we don't want to stop feeling that, because it's what makes us feel human and it's what makes us connect to you in a deeper way, when you could come into our sadness, when you could come into our fear and still move in great and powerful ways, because it reminds us that it's not about us, but it's about you. And so, Father, I pray that you give us solutions to the things we've been thinking about as well, that we would have the heart to say, send me. And this is what I've been thinking about, A, B, C, and D. These are the definitive times. This is what I think we should do. Give us that wisdom to navigate, that knowledge to think about these things as well. And that we won't always just say and use it as an excuse, oh, I'm being spirit-led. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. That in those moments where we can call on to you in the midst of conversations or making decisions, you answer us and give us the wisdom as well. And so, Father, I pray for provision in our lives as well, for us to ask, as your word says, you have not because you ask not. I pray for more boldness in our lives to ask, Lord, to ask more of you, to ask more of others as well. Help us to navigate through those that may stand against us as well, that may not be pleased in terms of the way things are going as well. And so, Father, wherever we might be in this season of our lives, give us the wisdom, give us a sensitivity to hear your voice as we go into this time of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Give me Jesus.
Yeah, Father, we thank you for the story of Nehemiah and the glimpse that we get to see of his inner world, of him feeling sad and him being fearful. Yet we know that in your hands, this is a man that you have chosen to rebuild the city and to lead exiles back to Jerusalem. And so, Father, I just pray that maybe if we're feeling that, there's something about us that just makes us feel unworthy, that we're not able or capable of, that we would just lift that up to you and surrender it to you. That if we are feeling fear, that we just surrender that fear to you, oh God. That you strengthen us and that you give us courage to do what you have called us to do. So, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Let's move to a time of a community prayer and come to the front.